Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it. A happy Wednesday to you and yours. This is Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Moss Norman alongside Jay Foreman here on a cloudy, overcast Wednesday. Doesn't seem like we're going to get this out of the way before we get to game week, and not just game week, but especially game day, Nebraska and Michigan, just a few days away. Top 25 Michigan comes to Memorial Stadium, 2:30 kickoff between the Wolverines and the Huskers. Jay, I'm not going to lie. I've been pretty proud of you and of your former teammates that we see around this building pretty consistently. I haven't heard the number 97 come up once all week yet. And it's Wednesday.
What?
1997.
It's 95.
Well, we're playing Michigan, though.
I mean, oh, ain't nobody worried about Michigan, man. I mean, when you think about it, nobody even thinks that they won it in 97, except for anybody in Ann Arbor.
I'm just saying, I'm proud of you and your teammates for taking that attitude and not continuing to rub in Michigan's face just how bad you would beat them.
Yeah, we don't got to worry about that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, exactly what you're saying.
They just a bunch of wannabes. They wish they had the national, you know, perspective that we have.
They do.
Yeah.
It's true. They did get the Heisman winner, but another story for another day.
Who was that? Charles Woodson?
Woodson.
Yeah.
So be it. 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of the show. Big thanks to the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Here's what we're going to do, Jay. We're going to go to themercadobutcher.com. We're going to click on the Fired Up Friday link. Because not only do they have Fired Up Friday, they have Fired Up Thursdays. Fired Up Thursday at the 85th and Old Cheney location, 5900 South 85th Street. Tomorrow, for just $18, you can get a grilled steak poke bowl, grilled short rib, seasoned rice, grilled pineapple, edamame, cucumber salad, radish, avocado, sriracha, mayo, sashimi, and miso seasoned potato sticks. All in a bowl for $18. Add a drink for one more dollar. That's going on at the Mercado East 85th and Old Cheney / Andermatt location. Fired Up Friday, Big Bucks Smoked Chuck Burger. Certified Piedmontese ground beef patties, smoked pulled chuck, cheddar cheese, bread and butter, pickles, barbecue sauce, crispy onions on a potato roll served with baked beans.
Mm.
They're doing it right.
Yeah.
Fridays at, of course, the Mercado North. Fired Up Thursdays at the Mercado East. I do love how you said we don't got to worry about Michigan. Nebraska volleyball doesn't got to worry about Creighton. 24-0, Jay. 24-0. Creighton's built into a Big East powerhouse, NCAA tournament regular, pushed Penn State to the brink in the Elite Eight last year, and Nebraska continually brushes them off. Shout out Creighton. They took it to 5. Nebraska wins sets 1, 3, and 5. Creighton takes sets 2 and 4. But over the 24 times that this game has been played, all in the regular season, Nebraska hasn't dropped once. That's incredible. I mean, I said that the two magic words last night and nearly came back to bite me. Little sister. I mean, there's beating a team. There's domination. And then there's straight up ownership, like Nebraska has over Creighton in that in-state rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, Creighton's more than just a little. They're getting close, and it could have went anyway. you know, Nebraska has just obviously, I think, a little bit more talent. Obviously, a lot of talent coming back. And obviously, people don't – I mean, obviously, we lost John Cook, but we were able to get, you know, Coach Danny. And then, obviously, Creighton's, I think, coach left kind of a little bit later. Mm-hmm. It was sudden, too. So,
Coach Booth now with Love Volleyball Omaha.
So, but I think it was a little bit more sudden, and I think it's harder to replace at a program like Creighton, but they are for real. It was exciting volleyball. It was a good match. I think it's good for Nebraska to be tested early and often. But then also want to give, you know, Creighton their just due of not only, you know, playing to, or, you know, competing to get it close. They were playing to win. It's just that Nebraska had a little bit more in the tank. But, you know, look for to go five sets and then Nebraska be able to pull away late. You know, I think it's a positive for both.
15-9, Nebraska wins it in the fifth set. We'll get to the key players coming up in a little bit, because I think that can lead us into a Michigan and Nebraska discussion as well. But Sartor Heeman text line, I want you guys to tell me who your favorite team is and who is your favorite team's thorn in the side that you just can't seem to get over the hump against. Jay, what if I told you there were two NFL franchises the Houston Texans have never defeated?
I'd believe that. I don't know who it is, though.
Philly and Minnesota.
Yeah, but they don't play them often.
They do not. Yeah. They're 0-6 against both of them.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of those L's up close.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. The Buffalo Bills. Let's take a look at them, the thorn in their side, and then we'll get to the Chiefs.
Why do you like to do this?
Well, I'm just going to tell you that.
Why do you like to rub it in there?
The Bills have a 750 winning percentage against the Carolina Panthers. They're 11-5 against Washington. What other teams do you want to know their record against all 10?
I want to see the Bears.
Ooh, the Bears. Let me scroll. The Bills are 6-8 against the Bears all time.
Yeah, that had to be back when the Bears were actually good.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
I gotta find the Colts here real quick. Indianapolis.
That's
Colts. Good.
That's probably a little skewed, because remember what Colts were before Peyton weren't very good.
True.
So, I mean, Buffalo was running the news over there.
I'm saying Colts all time. So the Colts, let's see. Colts' worst winning percentage is 8-21 against the Steelers. And that would have come to mind for me. The Colts have struggled with the Steelers historically. Even in the Manning years, to some degree, of course, they got some wins there. But over the course of the last 10, maybe 15 years, Pittsburgh's always been that thorn in the side. A couple playoff meetings that went Pittsburgh's way. Pittsburgh's dominated that regular season series. 5-9 against the Saints, including the Super Bowl loss. Let's see. Bills are 38-33-1 against the Colts all time.
That's pretty good.
You'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Hard to not take that.
It almost went a little bit out of control if Andrew Luck would have stayed around and they would have kept the division the same. Now, obviously, when Andrew Luck came, they were in the AFC South, so they were giving my Texans all they could handle. But Colts going, a franchise like the Colts going, obviously, you know, had Johnny Unitas and all that when they were in Baltimore. But then, you know, Peyton Manning, they thought Jeff George was Peyton Manning or their franchise quarterback. That didn't work out.
It did not.
And then obviously you get Peyton Manning, then almost going generational quarterback for a small market team like the Colts after all the success with the Peyton Manning Colts would have been the biggest fleece in the NFL history.
6785 says, as a Lions fan, the biggest team the Lions can't beat is themselves. They can't get past the Lions. There's a lot of teams like that just continually trip over their own feet. But to that Lions point, they are 1-6 against Baltimore all time, 3-10 against the Bengals, 4-10 against the Titans. Jay, I'm sure you saw the same thing I did. Joe Burrow, in his sixth season, has already taken more sacks than Andrew Luck did in six full seasons.
Yeah.
Holy cow, yeah. Cincinnati.
And it's crazy. I mean, Cincinnati has drafted and invested into their offensive line. So I think it's a little bit – well, and also I think, you know, the way that their offense is, they're trying to push the ball down the field. So pass rushers are a premium. Pass rushers are more, there's a, you know, a big abundance of them, you know, throughout the league. And then you're in the league where every team has a duet of pass rushers. Baltimore has multiple guys. The Browns and the Miles Garrett counts for two. And Pittsburgh.
You're going, TJ Watt counts for two.
And so you're going to get hit. And then now, and this is not even counting like the Cam Haywards and the, you know, the other defensive linemen that they have throughout the league. And let alone you get outside of your division and you have a team that likes to push it down the field. I think also, you know, Joe Burrow probably, you know, probably is, you know, early in his career was inexperienced, and that's with every quarterback. And so you, you know, you'd like to see the sacks, go down, cause that lets you know you're getting the ball out, you know, quicker. But then you get rid of Joe Mixon.
You just let him walk.
So, you get rid of Joe Mixon, and then he's not only good at running the ball, because he found a home there in Cincinnati, is that he was able to dictate the coverage, but more importantly, he's excellent at pass protection. And they've had some unfortunate injuries with some offensive linemen, too.
They have, but you can also relitigate a couple choices that they made that haven't panned out. You go to Jamar Chase over Penei Sewell. Now, Jamar Chase is Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
But Penei Sewell has completely locked down the right side for Detroit over his first handful of years in the league. And then the signing of Orlando Brown Jr. You know, you get him from Kansas City off the Super Bowl. You just haven't heard his name. He hasn't been anything special, hasn't been anything productive. And I think, you know, sure, you'll take your swings in free agency. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't. You don't turn down a guy like Jamar Chase, but could Joe Burrow have elevated a third round receiver to 80% of what he gets from Jamar Chase and, you know, cut his sacks by 20% over the last 4 years? Had they taken Penei Sewell, maybe they have to swing him to the left side. I don't know. But that's one of those choices where you have two good choices, but you're seeing the ramifications of that choice right now.
Yeah, I think it goes back farther than that. What's the big right guard or right tackle they got from Dallas? And he got hurt right away. And he was a big free agent signing. You know, they drafted Amarius Mims, who's a mountain of a man at the right tackle, but he's very raw. But then they had drafted, you know, a couple guys from Alabama, you know, early.
And Ted Karras is fine.
Yeah, he's good, but they let Kappa go.
Reisner,
Yeah, but those are now that you're getting into retreads. And so,
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, they tried to go and they tried to invest, you know, via free agency. It didn't work. You had to think Orlando Brown. You know, he got his start, I think, in Baltimore. Yeah, and then he went to Kansas City. It's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two really good offensive line heavy teams. They're like, okay, you can leave. Now you have them as your left tackle. They tried Trent Brown, maybe the biggest guy in the league. That didn't work out. Probably got paid and didn't chill. So they tried to do the right thing. It just never worked out.
And again, you're not going to be upset when you have Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. I mean, how many teams across the league would kill for two of those guys, let alone have all three?
Brown's more than capable running back. I just think it's a little bit of bad luck. You also have to think a lot of times in Joe Burrow's career, the defense, you know, had like a season or two where they were really good, but majority of the years, you know, it's like they've been playing from behind. So when you're throwing the ball all the time, you're going to take some hits. And so, you know, I think it's just a part of, you know, being the number one pick. You rarely are going to the defending Super Bowl champion as number one pick. And if they're defending the Super Bowl champions, they're not picking the quarterback.
Right.
So it's just the price that you pay to go number one, generally.
How, is it a Zach Taylor issue at all?
Well, if Zach Taylor tried to go 22 personnel or only threw, you know, go like 20 pass attempts a game, now they're going to be getting rid of him.
Right.
Joe Burrow, when healthy, is one of the top like five or six quarterbacks in the league. You know,
top four, according to pretty much every evaluator in the preseason.
And I mean, I'm just throwing in a couple guys that take off during the year. You have to let him. I mean, and also he can do some things with it with the football. Not a lot of guys, you know, walking the, you know, planet Earth can do.
Absolutely true. Let's see here. Brad says they have a $500 million tied up in three guys. They're completely stuck. That is a big part of it. But what are you going to do? You're going to let Ja'Marr Chase walk? He's arguably the top receiver in football.
But you paid T. Higgins like a one.
That you couldn't afford to do.
And
you didn't get anything to trade for him.
Right. But if you have to look how Mike Brown does business.
Which is to say, as little business as possible.
Right. So nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, we'll pay you. Trey Henderson holds out until literally the first game. And then now, you know, they adjusted it. Now that you essentially got to the same 1 year deal that you probably could have got to before the season started. So, and then you didn't sign Stewart, the first round pick for, you know, you're trying
even
to get
longer.
Even longer. So it's part of them being overloaded offensively is essentially the smokescreen. It looked like we're actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And T. Higgins would have probably maybe got the same contract on it, maybe a little bit more out there on the free agent market.
Yeah.
You know, most teams would have signed Ja'Marr Chase back, but you also got to think Ja'Marr Chase had to wait a little while. He could have been signed earlier, like last season, because they asked him about it.
Yeah.
Because Justin Jefferson got paid, and then they asked him, would you just want to get 1 cent more? And he just felt, you know, he feels like he's better, and it all end up working out. But how you do things with one player affects your whole team. More importantly, affects your franchise quarterback and Joe Burrow.
Tommy says on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line, tackle is one of the hardest positions to replace. If they're good enough, they won't hit free agency, and most rookie tackles aren't ready for the NFL. The Colts went through that a little bit with the semi-surprise retirement of Anthony Costanzo. Cycled through a couple guys. Eric Fisher was there toward the end of his career. And then what the Colts did was they got Bernard Raimann. Project kind of guy out of, I think it was Central Michigan.
Yeah, but that's the problem right now that you're saying. When you got Joe Burrow, right? Okay, let's just say he's the number six quarterback in the league. Let's just say he's not, but let's just say he's number six because he's injury prone. Okay, you're number six. You can't take projects. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, no, you don't have time. You can't afford to do that.
No, this is not. This is not the plus. You don't even pay your coaches to develop you. The Cincinnati Bengals are not known to develop players. They're not like Philly, you know, or Pittsburgh.
Shoot, Baltimore.
Or some, Baltimore. They're going to take time, you know, really invest in you.
No.
They don't even give you guys breakfast. So
go get your McDonald's.
Right. So you can't do that. Because if you're a project, to get to where Joe Burrow needs you to be, and in that off where Ja'Marr, where everybody needs you to be offensively, is like 2 or 3 years. And that's if everything goes right. That means if everybody...
Well, that's a short time in the NFL where careers go by in the blink of an eye.
You could be out of the league. You could be here, chilling, right here. It's not, you know what it is? It's the exact opposite of what the Colts did. What the Colts do? They kept Marshall Faulk to teach Peyton Manning pass protection, give him a safety net. They kept Tyree Glenn, and then they slowly but surely started to add pieces around them to the detriment of the defense. And then they really tried to, then they found their identity on defense. Okay, we're going to get free agents. We're going to always be ahead so we can have two small defensive ends. We're going to pass rush on the way to the run game. They really hit the mark when Bob Sanders was healthy, and obviously turned them around. And then eventually after that, they started to get pieces that kind of fit Bob Sanders. Gary Barnett and
Cato June.
Like, I mean,
Marlon Jackson,
all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would go and free agent pick, you know, kind of plug and play those guys that work. Sometimes it wouldn't. But then they always kind of went back to that because they knew that they always kept their offense together.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals are like, oh, we're going to get a bunch of offensive players. And it's great to have Noah Fant and Gesicki. And then the offensive line just hasn't got better. Either that or you've been keeping around the offensive line coach that isn't good.
Mm.
Now, that might be it.
I don't even know who the Bengals offensive line coach is, which is not rare. It's really hard. Scott Peters just hired this January, previously coached for New England. Here's the other question then, Jay. Who's done a worse job protecting their quarterback, the Bengals or the Chiefs?
Oh, the Bengals.
Is that obvious, though?
Andy Reid's offensive line coach by trade. He's developed guys.
But it's been on the interior. Chiefs have kind of swung and missed at tackle the last handful of years.
They've bargained price free agents and got them better. They had not Jeff Schwartz, but Jeff Schwartz's brother.
Yeah, Mitchell Schwartz.
Who was the best right tackle in football until he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then he came back and it just wasn't the same.
And then
you got to think.
Great Twitter follow, by the way.
Jeff is.
Well, Mitchell's pretty good, too.
Yeah, Mitchell's better than Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, I don't really. And then, you know, they towards the end when they drafted Fisher, he was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually hit there, but then they didn't. What they did or have done is they don't invest out there. They get you to the point, and somebody overpays for you. Now,
but then they've gone and they've made trades for Orlando Brown, who is serviceable, but not their franchise guy
for a year or two.
Yeah,
and it's like, all right.
And now they're stuck on Juwan Taylor. Can't do anything about him.
Right.
Relying on a rookie coming off patella injury.
But they're not going out and getting Laremy Tunsil and all that. And that's what you're thinking, right? Now, you also got to think.
They could have had Trent Williams.
Right. But I'm sure that would have not. That their pay structure is they're not going to go above whatever they want at that position. That's how they've been able to keep superstars like that. The problem is the crops of guys that are coming through aren't good. Mm-hmm. And Orlando Brown, really, quiet as kept. If you really know why they got rid of him, Patrick Mahomes got him out of there. And it was all based on Orlando Brown, which Patrick Mahomes, I understood, because he's on the come up. He's thinking championship. He's going to play through whatever ailment that he can answer the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Brown at that time was trying to get paid. Older, he's trying to get paid. Remind you, he's not on any commercials.
Nope.
He's not going to be on any commercials. He's trying to get paid. So really, Chiefs didn't invest in him. He knew it. So he really played the long game for himself. That's how he was gone. He was good there. They didn't want to pay him what the market value would have been for a free agent left tackle. Mm-hmm. Which everybody else did. So it looks good on the Chiefs, but if they would have handled it early, they would have had him. And, you know, obviously I understand Patrick Mahomes, like, if you can't answer the bell, I'll go out there and do it myself, which most of the time he does.
Well, and the Bills were kind of a beneficiary of that offensive line turmoil in Kansas City. They got Mitch Morse for a few years, which worked out pretty well. So the flip side of Kansas City and Cincinnati, Jay, is Buffalo don't hear a lot about their offensive line, which tells me it's in pretty good shape. And then Baltimore, really consistently up there leading the league in rushing, and maybe, you know, having Lamar Jackson papers over some of their issues, but Linderbaum's been good. Rosengarten's been pretty good. Again, they're the ones that traded away Orlando Brown.
Yeah, and they went and got the big tackle from the Gophers and then moved him into the guard.
Yep.
They got Stanley.
Ronnie Stanley.
Notre Dame just paid him. So just kind of, I think they've developed guys better. They've both free agent and drafted guys, and it seems to work out really well.
Quite well.
For them. But the Chiefs got the ring. It doesn't matter if you say they haven't protected Patrick Mahomes enough. He's escaped enough. He's just fine. And he's not going to get hit that much. Trust me. He's the league. You get close to him, it's a flag. He knows it too.
Spoken like a salty Buffalo Bills fan.
Well, we got something for him this year, though.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, we digging off in that, man, this year. I'm telling you that right now.
It's happened in the regular season before.
Yes, it has. It has. As long as Milano stays healthy, we'll be good.
It's funny how big an X factor he is. Like, Milano is on that short list. Derwin James was there for a while as the Travis Kelce stopper. Two guys that are keys to their respective defenses when it comes down to crunch time in the playoffs, though.
Well, here's the
where
problem.
Are you?
Yeah, well, they're sitting, they're watching. The problem is because most of the teams have all that money invested in defense. When you have somebody that can do multiple things at the second level, like Derwin James could play, you know, he can play all three levels. Matt Milano can blitz, stop the run, and cover. Well, when he's hurt, then that just, it hurts your defense. And also, it's the experience and knowing what the head coaches or D coordinators want. So it's just a different way they go about it. I think the Chiefs right now are kind of rolling along like the Patriots. So you're able to go get Drew Tranquil and those guys, you know, Bolden. And hey, do you want to win a championship here? I'll come in for, a two-year deal at a little bit over, you know, the veteran minimum, and then get some money. And you win championships. And then obviously Drew Tranquil was signed a cap or a team friendly deal. That's how you're able to do it.
We mentioned that we were going to talk about some of the stars from Nebraska's win over Creighton. We'll do that in the context of Nebraska, Michigan. How did Nebraska's big stars play last night? How well do Nebraska's big stars need to play on Saturday? We'll get to that when we get back to Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back to Old School. Austin Norman and Jay Foreman with you. 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Some numbers for you from Nebraska volleyball's win over Creighton last night. Nebraska 9-0 on the year. Final non-con match comes against Arizona on Saturday. Harper Murray leads the way, double-double for her with 17 kills and 10 digs. Virginia Adriano, 13 kills. Andy Jackson, 13 kills and 4 blocks. Taylor Landfair, 12 kills. Rebecca Alec, 7. And Bergen Riley moves into 6th place in school history in career assists in the Riley scoring era. Olivia Mauk, a career-high 16 digs for her. Big thanks to the Nebraska Athletic Department for those easy-to-handle and manage stats. But, Jay, those are pretty much all the starters for Nebraska that we just went through there. A lot of big names, right? Harper Murray, double-double. Big deal in an in-state matchup. Virginia Adriano, big kind of transfer portal esque addition from overseas. Your middles play well. Your opposite in Taylor Landfair plays well. How important is it for the stars, the best players on the team, the headline grabbers, to play well in big games like Nebraska Creighton or in the football case Nebraska Michigan on Saturday?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, it's the utmost importance. I mean, that's what you come to know. To Nebraska for, that's what you're, I guess, getting paid to do. It's definitely, you know, very important. I mean, I don't even.
Can Nebraska win if Dylan Raiola doesn't play well?
There's a way. I mean, if he goes out and has 5 interceptions, I mean, no. But if he goes out there and
55% completion, a pick on 27 attempts.
Yeah, they could win.
Can Nebraska win if it doesn't rush for more than 125 yards?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can Nebraska win if Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter have fewer than 5 catches between them?
Well, yeah, because then that means somebody else is getting busy.
They have
enough guys that can get busy.
That's where I hope you're right, but we need to see it. Because more often than not, it's been the offense that has let Nebraska down in these big games. Against teams that have built their identity on defense, it's been the offense that hasn't shown up for Nebraska. They haven't had the personnel to overcome it. So that's why I bring this up is that, yeah, of course, there's a path and a hypothetical. But to me, it's going to come down to the stars finally playing well for Nebraska in a big game. Because that's been how Nebraska's been let down in recent history.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, I think that, Adrian Martinez, I think a year or two before when Scott was still here that they he had a, you know, big effort and, you know, I mean, I guess, the offense played good technically against them. I remember when Amir was here, he scored on the very last, like, you know, last possession. You know, that was a defensive effort and, you know, pretty good defense in Michigan, and the offense was able to, you know, get busy. I think the guys need to play well. I mean, you know, that's what you're here for. That's what you're actually getting paid to do. And that's what there is no other way, you know, other expectation that you got to play well. But I don't think that if they're rolling coverage to Dane Key and Hunter has like four catches for, let's just say, 50 yards and, you know, whatever for Dane, then that's like, okay, now we can't get across the 50. You've recruited, developed, and we just talked about the other guys on the roster that could step up and maybe not to the same level as the, like, the three-headed monster, but they all can put together something. And then also you got to be able to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But this game going to come down to defense.
Let me bring up the offensive stats before we get you on your defensive pedestal. Adrian Martinez, 18 of 28 through the air for 291 yards.
Yeah.
Not a lot of completions for a bunch of yards, three touchdowns and an interception. Ramir Johnson, 17 carries for 67 yards. Adrian Martinez went 8 for 38. Samori Toure carried for 16 yards. And then in the receiving game, there were some big plays. 30-yarder from Adrian Martinez to Oliver Martin for 30 yards. Austin Allen, 2 for 59, including 1 for 46. And Ramir Johnson, 6 for 105, including a long of 43. Nice wheel route touchdown as well, where it felt like, yeah, Nebraska's legitimately in this game and they've got a chance to win it. Came down to turnovers, of course. Adrian Martinez loses a fumble and throws the interception. Don't forget, Nebraska was the first team to force a Cade McNamara interception that year. Deontay Williams in plus territory. Nebraska, I believe, had to settle for a field goal in that one. So Nebraska put up decent numbers, 29 points you would hope would be enough for Nebraska against this current version of the Michigan offense.
That's a good enough points against anybody.
It needs to be.
No, it is. Like, you got to play. They score 30 points, and you're talking about you need more points?
In this modern era of college football, there are plenty of teams that can put up 30.
Okay.
Penn State's not blinking putting up 30. Ohio State's putting up 30.
If you put up 30 points on a team, you should be able to defensively win that game 8-9 times out of 10.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah,
period.
But 8 or 9 isn't 10.
You're not going to win every game like that because you're going to play against it where they're going to be hot. And that's just something that happens. It might not just be your day defensively. You might lose a shootout. That's fine. If you average and take the last 2 weeks out, right? So over 9 games. So let's take Cincinnati game, 8 conference games. You average 30 some points against the type of defense potentially that you could play. And let's just say you take out UCLA and say you put in a better defensive team. Say it's either Ohio State or Oregon in your schedule. Mm-hmm. And you average 30 points. You're going to be in the college football playoffs if your defense is handling business.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah,
because a bunch of the teams that are going to be averaging more than 30 points per game are going to be playing in, you know, your Sun Belts, maybe your MACs, your Conference USAs.
Yeah.
Where unless they're getting the one auto bid by being 12-13-0,
yeah,
they're not in there. Because in to your point, in power conference football, it's hard to average 35 points a game, which makes it
the possessions are less. The game is played differently.
More physical, played differently. Physically.
Yeah. You got it. Every possession counts, every snap counts. It's a different type of mentality of when you play against conference opponents. They know you most of the time, you know them. The players know each other. You're somewhat familiar. There is crossover sometimes with coaches. You know, you got a lot of other coaches that you could call that are friends and colleagues to get some tips and so forth and so on. And so, you know, this Michigan game is the big time players need to play, right? I mean, they need to come and show up. They can't have a game where you're just like completely bad. And that's on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Emmitt has to have a good game. His game is not necessarily all the way predicated on the offensive line. He needs to be able to run it and catch it. And, you know, that they got to be in position to do so. And so, you know, the offensive line needs to play well. They need to have a good game. And so mm-hmm. I think it's everybody needs to play well. Because it's definitely all of them in it together. Mm-hmm. Like I said, before the season, every one of these guys have something to prove. And that's why they got to go prove it together.
They sure do. It's been a while since Nebraska's beat Michigan. Kupsker, I believe the answer for the quarterback for Michigan the last time Nebraska beat them should have been Denard Shoelaces Robinson back when Nebraska and Michigan were both in the Legends Division.
I think so. It was up there, right?
I think Nebraska, or was it Tommy? Yeah, Tommy and Amir. Tommy and Amir beat him. Yeah, yep, there, up in the Big House. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that'd have been Devin Gardner at that point?
The President Stadium. That stadium is horrible.
I've been told it's not great.
It's a letdown. It is. I've been there.
Just big?
Yeah, not impressive. I'm expecting something like, it's like way in there underneath the ground. Then it's so like weird because you can't even, like when they run out and go through the middle, it doesn't even get hyped.
The one tunnel that leads to fights with Michigan State.
Yeah, it doesn't even get really that. I mean, it's, you know.
So, yes, Kupsker and 5807, we did get there to Devin Gardner. Haven't seen a lot of Nebraska-Michigan since those divisions went away. Michigan got shipped to the East, and Nebraska seemed to draw Ohio State a lot more than it drew Michigan. Till recent years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I had a couple good battles with Khakis you know, when they came in last time they played, they obviously were the team to beat, but this is a different Michigan team.
Who's the most important player for Michigan on Saturday?
For us to go against?
For Michigan to win. Is it Underwood? Is that too easy?
I mean, of course it's Underwood.
But I feel like Michigan can win even if he's just okay. You don't think so?
This is not a good team. This is not a good Michigan team. I mean, if they were running the ball at somewhat the same clip they had been, they're not. Their offensive line is garbage. I shouldn't even say
like
that.
garbage or garbage for Michigan standards? Because those are two different.
Hot garbage.
Whoa!
It's like yesterday, and you forgot to take the garbage out to the curb.
Tomorrow's trash day for me, so
you gotta wait a whole week. So just say tough. You forgot.
I've done that before.
They're capable. Sure, I think Underwood needs to. The biggest thing for Michigan to win is Underwood takes another step forward as far as playing. So we'll see how he does on his second time going into a raucous, you know, road environment.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he's better than he was, down there in Norman. You know, I think the second half was significantly better. Actually, I think the second quarter on was significantly better than the first quarter, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing with this is that, you know, our guys on defense that are, I guess, black shirts, single digits or whatever, they got to play well. So that means our back end guys have to have a really consistent game against their receivers and then coming up in the, mid-level type of like passing game and then running game on the quarterback. You got to rally and hit this dude.
When you say hot garbage as an offensive line, are you talking like Colorado bad? They won't throw it as much, obviously.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see at 5 o'clock, though.
We are.
We're going to see at 5 o'clock.
We will.
We're going to see at 5 o'clock.
We got Whiteboard Wednesday coming up, top of the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we're going to see 5 o'clock. There's a sneaky difference between like their line and what they were and how I know they're not the same. They're not that guy anymore.
Even with the offensive line head coach.
Yeah, well, he too busy. See, I knew he
too busy cheating.
I knew he when we see him down at Big Ten, when you had them penny loafer shoes on with the spikes on with no socks. See, first of all, I'm thinking, I know your feet are sweating. So you probably got athlete's feet. You probably ain't washed your feet. And you are a former offensive lineman wearing skinny suit pants.
Extra medium suit pants with studded loafers.
Yeah.
Doing too much.
Yeah, you're doing too much.
Forgot who you were.
Because before, he was just straight, same sweatsuit and everything like that. Every time you see him now, he's
changed up a little bit.
Yeah, he got brand new.
Just like his offensive line, apparently.
Yeah, they got brand new.
We'll keep talking about that throughout the course of the show. Whiteboard Wednesday, live on stream. Get to Facebook, get to YouTube, get to Twitter. Hopefully now, or if not, certainly by 5 o'clock for Whiteboard Wednesday. We'll go to break. Your chance to win $50 to Grotto Bar and Lounge, wrapping up hour one of Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour one of Old School. DG, get ready to win $50 to Grotta Bar and Lounge. We'll give Jay Foreman the question. He'll go with a number. You will go over, under, or push Jay's answer. We'll just give the first person in. Actually, do third person since it's over, under, or push the right answer. The question, how many seconds were left when Kansas City came back to beat? But no, I'm kidding. Not going to do that to you. Mm-hmm. We all know it's 13 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
How about this, though? Including playoffs, how many games has Patrick Mahomes won as an NFL starting quarterback? Including playoffs, how many games, Jay, has Patrick Mahomes won as an NFL starting quarterback? For reference, he just turned 30 years old today, and he has the record for most wins by a starting quarterback entering, age 30.
So he didn't play 1 year. 110.
Jay says 110. We need over, we need under, we need push. 402-464-5685. Some more Patrick Mahomes numbers while we wait. Again, this is in terms of guys before turning 30. Patrick Mahomes, the most passing yards in a career before turning 30, 38,611. Most passing touchdowns, 293 of them. Three Super Bowls by age 30 is tied. Three Super Bowl MVPs. He is first in that. More stats here. Just comparing him to, saw this from Pod of Fame on Twitter. Mahomes 20s compared to some other guys. Best win-loss record, most wins. We'll give you the answer here in just a sec. Highest completion percentage among Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Joe Montana are the guys he's getting compared to. In terms of passing yards, you add his numbers from the playoffs. He tops Peyton Manning, but just regular season, Peyton Manning has the edge. Mahomes leads in pass yards per game, touchdowns, quarterback rating, some rushing stats in there as well. Six-time Pro Bowler through essentially the seven seasons that he's been in the league. Offensive Player of the Year, MVP a couple times as well. The answer, you got to trust Jay Foreman, 106.
See?
106.
And they just got lucky because it's just like, all right, let's just do under because he's won so much. So that's the easy guess.
89 regular season wins and 17 playoff wins, also the most before turning age 30. One-eyed Ray, funny thing is you could have asked the same question at the end of last season and the answer would have been the same.
You got to get it in against the Chiefs anytime you can because they're going to come back with a vengeance if they ever get on it, get started.
And as we discussed, Monday, you believe that they are going to get started. So it's been a pretty incredible start to the career for Patrick Mahomes. How many more years do you think he got left? Do you think he's halfway done with his career? Is he a guy that gets to 40? Is he a 35, 36 guy? How many more years does Patrick Mahomes play?
How old is he, 30?
He just turned 30 today.
Oh, he's got 15 more years.
You think he's going George Blanda playing at 45?
Tom Brady did. He's going to have every record out there. Here's why he can play that long. All the quarterbacks that are coming in aren't good. So he's going to be able to play with his mind. And he can throw in the pocket.
That's the thing people forget, is that he's not just the highlight player.
Right.
Like, he's got the pocket ability.
And that's the worst part. Because once he already has it all. He can play as long as he'll just play until he feels like he'll be like, oh. He'll be like Aaron Rodgers last year, throw for 3,600 yards, 28 TDs, 12 picks. Like, oh, I haven't played to my standard. I'm going to go ahead and retire. But Aaron Rodgers had a great year last year.
He did. I still struggle to believe the numbers that you put in front of me from his time with the Jets last year.
On the down low.
Just on the Jets.
Between them and the Bears.
Hey. Are you buying into the narrative that Caleb Williams didn't actually play that badly against the Lions?
People
are trying to tell me he wasn't the problem.
Well, that 52 points. There's only it's like I say, it's what type of diarrhea do you like? Yes, Eric. Did you see your boy Eric? Eric showed some love. Look at this.
How about that?
He said, can we take a poll to see what Jay's favorite Sayers phrases is and why it's so forth and so on? Hey, what's up with this dude, man? Hey, Eric, man, what did I do to you?
No, don't take it personal. Eric's a canned man.
I know.
Because everybody can.
Everybody can get it.
Yeah. Don't take it personal. That's just
but I ain't deserve it. Everybody else did deserve it.
You have a point there.
He equal opportunity commission. He's going to give everybody business.
He is. He does. He will. And he will continue to. So, Eric,
you're funny, man.
We appreciate that about you. We'll go to break. When we get back, we'll talk some more at Nebraska, Michigan, just how big a game is this for the Nebraska program. We'll talk to Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald coming up at 4:30. Then don't forget, you'll want to get to Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, maybe even Allo Channel 961 by 5 o'clock. We got Whiteboard Wednesday. Jay Foreman is going to show you how it is. Nebraska solves the Michigan run game and leads to a Husker win. All that and more ahead on Old School.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.